Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday evening. Very excited and very happy to have the guest that we've got on the phone right now. And let me tell you how far this goes back. It's got to be 20 years or more, and it relates to a cousin of mine who has sort of my sense of humor. We both have a very sick and dark and crazy sense of humor, and I was, you know, turning him on to things like Monty Python and Dr. Demento and all strange things like that. And then he passed me a tape one time, sort of a live, bootleggy kind of a tape. Sorry if the guest is hearing this and now wants some kind of royalties or something, but it made me an instant fan of the person who's on the phone right now. His name is John Valby, and he's been singing in nightclubs and college campuses and pretty much wherever he can for years and years because he sings the most filthy, scatological, raucous, dirty, obscene songs.
Thank you.
You've ever heard. And proudly so. And this is before, I mean, now, of course, you turn on HBO, every comedian, every other word out of their mouth, or you know, it's nothing now. Gilbert Gottfried doing the aristocrats joke, and it's we laud it as national treasure. But
right.
When Dr. Dirty, John Valby, started doing these songs, it wasn't quite like that. So welcome, first of all, to the neighborhood, Dr. Dirty, John Valby.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be here.
And so you were a classically trained pianist.
Yes.
So how did you go from doing that to singing songs that we can't even... We had three CDs that someone who works with Dr. Dirty sent to us so that we could choose from and play on the show. There was one song we were able to find that would actually pass muster because they're just... I mean, the things that you can put into or take out of vaginas, I've never in my life... come across. So anyway, I'm sorry to ramble like that, but again, classical pianist to being Mr. Filth.
How? Yeah, well, you know, I joined rock and roll bands, and it was hard keeping the bands together, so I decided to do a solo act. The first night I threw in three mildly dirty songs, and the next place was a small place, an engine room and a showboat. The place was packed. They wanted to hear those same three songs over and over. So basically, I became a mirror. What the crowd responded to, I kept. And what they didn't, I kind of left out. And it turns out people are 20 times dirtier than I ever thought.
Oh, yeah. And this is, again, we're talking 1970.
Yeah, 74 is when I started.
Which is, that's around the time also when Dr. Demento was getting started. So there was an underground, I guess, movement in a way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they've been doing underground dirty stuff forever. Do you remember a newspaper called The Pearl? It was in England. That's where they first wrote The Man from Nantucket and all that kind of stuff. It was written by some of the best writers of the day, but under fake names because everybody's dirty, really.
Oh, yeah, filthy, horrible.
And it's just that sometimes we're allowed to say it and sometimes we're not. You know, it's true about that HBO and stuff. Everybody's doing it now. But, boy, back when I started, you couldn't say... hardly anything. I mean, people went nuts if I said the F word.
Well, you were only then just a few years after Lenny Bruce. I mean, who was considered like the godfather, the grandfather.
Right.
Of being able to... Were you ever threatened with any kind of legal problems for what you were doing?
You know, yes. Once I played at a college and I got a girl to shoot a moon, and the campus cop arrested me and... fingerprinted me and all this kind of stuff.
I'm believe it or not, relatively straight-laced and uptight. Is there a way to describe what shooting a moon... I mean, she just mooned you? Is that what shooting a moon is?
Oh, no. Shooting a moon is coming up on stage, turning around, and dropping your skivvies.
Right, mooning.
Yeah, mooning. And hopefully, you know, a little wiggle in there always makes the crowd yell.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that's not so bad. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, no, I mean...
I thought she was going to be projecting ping-pong balls or something.
Oh, no, but that has happened, but not at this particular time.
Actually, hold on, I've been working on this one ping-pong ball. One second.
Oh, God!
Oh, wow, four of them.
Oh.
I did a four-bagger.
Oh,
that's wonderful. Oh, I'm sore now and a little bit bloody, but it was worth the effect.
You can say that, and I can't say any of the words?
No, well, the word, believe it or not, sometimes the words are worse, but then again, a lot of, so many of your songs have to do with biological, sexual, and excretory functions. And
yeah.
that's, that kind of is what gets the FCC uptight, as well as S and F and MF and the C words, which I love, of course. Anybody who knows
in
me.
In the right circumstance,
yeah.
they're perfect. You know?
Now, you are 63 years old.
Yes, I am.
So, and has it become a grind to travel and go into the campus? I mean, do you go all over the country or just the Northeast or what?
Mostly the East. I mean, I still do a little West Coast stuff, but that's really far to go to do this. I have more jobs than I can handle here, you know, luckily, knock on wood. And, the travel is a little harder. The show is really just as much fun. You know, it's fun when you're 63 still being a juvenile teenager, you know?
That's true. I mean, you get to go up there and the years melt away and you're just singing the dirtiest possible songs that would have made you blush and giggle when you were 14.
Yes.
And here you are and you're writing them, some of them, too.
Yes. Me and my buddy Ron, we go on the road together. And, when we write stuff mostly is on the way home when we're exhausted. And we just start laughing and getting silly and saying stupid things. And sometimes we write them down, and the next week they're funny.
And those are the ones you kind of keep. And some of them are topical. Which
yes,
I didn't
but
really...
yeah, I always say, oh, I can't wait for this election year. It's going to be great. An old fart against a black guy. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, man. Now, this is interesting. Something, at least from the way you responded to things, events post 9/11 and to the war in Iraq and all that, you seem kind of right-wing. Politically, or are you both sides of the fence?
That's not really true, but I am registered independent. But you know, I pick on both sides equally. You know, I pick on the liberals for being panty waist little spotted owl lovers, and you know, all that kind of stupidity.
Whereas you're a spotted owl eater, and kind of thing. And where's the Republicans or what?
Republicans are knee-jerk Nazis.
Oh, well.
Care
yeah,
about
are.
Only about their bottom line.
Okay.
You know, but, I consider it more American, the response to, 9/11 and all that stuff. You know, you just, you know, you rabble rouse for your country. That's, to me, where else in the world can I say whatever the kind of things I say about the president or the president's wife, it's just off in this country. God, I love it.
Iceland, perhaps. Little pockets of Iceland.
Iceland?
Yeah.
Switzerland, but
it wasn't just 9/11. I mean, even the whole Iraq thing.
It
was about Saddam, and you're blitzing there. I mean, do you change when you're doing sort of more southerly kind of places? Do you play more to what you anticipate their politics would be? And then when you're more northeast, you go, you hit the right harder?
No, not really. I would say the pattern of response can be different. You know, sometimes I'll, like recently, I will pick on Hillary in a place where, boy, there were a lot of people that were supporting her, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the laugh wouldn't be as hard, and I'd pick up on that, and, then I'd hit Barack a little harder. I pretty much... because the jokes are so silly and stupid, they can't take me seriously. I'm in a derby and a bow tie. You can't take me seriously.
Was that from the beginning, too? When did the costume...
Yeah, when I first started in the showboat, I tried a number of outfits. I always had the derby and the bow tie, but one night I put on a white suit, and everything just worked, because you look like a little ice cream man. You look so innocent in the white, and all the filthy stuff comes out, And so I stuck with it.
Does it ever, I wouldn't say bother you, but because you're playing to the kinds of crowds that you're playing, and they're all raucous, and generally they've probably had a few, if not a tonneful, that you can't generally be subtle. You can't write a Randy Newman kind of song. Everything you do has kind of got to be nail on the head, like pow.
You know, I can do that the first song or the second song, but once you start nailing a few, you can't go back to the subtle, unless the subtle is extremely funny, or they already know it, and they just want to hear it just because
oh, yeah.
they like that song. But so any of the newer subtler stuff I start off with, and then you go to the and try to get harder. You know, but it is hard. You're right. It is hard to go backwards.
We are talking with Dr. Dirty John Valby here in the neighborhood, and just having a wonderful time talking to you. And can't tell you how many times we used to play that cassette, that purloined cassette. I'm assuming it was just a tape of a CD, or no, back then it was like a record that you did. But maybe it was someone sneaking it into a club just to share it and bring it out to the world of the kind of music and things that you do. But I noticed on your website that you also, along your career, have done more, I wouldn't say serious, but more pop kind of numbers that weren't novelty-esque or weren't obscene-esque.
Yes.
What were some of your dabblings in that?
I did a bunch of that new age instrumental kind of stuff. I did some children's stuff, believe it or not.
You're kidding me.
And, you know, but not really any of it commercially successful. You know, I consider myself one of the world's worst butt kissers, if you're allowed to say that.
Yeah, that's okay. Even ass. And, ass kissers is fine. Yeah,
I'm just not good. And those record companies that control everything that gets on the radio, I'm just not in with that circle, you know. And so.
But you've been able to to carve out a career on full time living as Dr. Dirty John Valby, doing, basically it's the touring thing. That's where the money comes from?
Yes, basically, although things are going well on iTunes now. I finally have an outlet that people can get to. You know, certain places would carry CDs and records in the old days, but not many, you know, because kids can walk in. But now with iTunes, man, it's great.
I'm a little surprised that over the years, especially how long you've been doing that, and the cult level of your popularity, and that's cult, C-U-L-T, as opposed to a word that you use occasionally, that HBO or Showtime or those kinds of people never quite sniffed around for a special or something like that. Or did they, and it just didn't work out?
I think they did sniff one time, and the story I heard was there was some girl who didn't like the song The End of the Month that I did, and I didn't have a really good connection either, but, you know, who knows? That's all the inner workings of somebody else. And, you know, and it's still not who you know, it's who you blow, you know, and I'm just not in that mode.
Right. Okay. I think we can keep that line. I'm not sure. Might have to run that by a few people here. Now, what may shock people more than anything, your songs can be pretty darn shocking, but after hearing a few of your songs, and I hope people will go to, what's your website? JohnValbyNation.com?
JohnValby.com, or there's John Valby Nation. There's a bunch of them out there. But if you type in John Valby, it'll come up.
So, yeah, I mean, that'd be the first thing under Google as well, for V-A-L-B-Y, John Valby. So, as shocking as all that stuff is and out there, it's even almost more shocking to know that you're a family man with five kids.
Yes, actually six.
Oh, no, wait a minute. When did is it that new?
Well, the youngest one's 14, so it's not that new.
You need to change your website.
Oh, well, you know, I remember I'm an old fart, so the web is the new stuff, and I...
Or is one of those kids, like, with a different woman somewhere in, like, an igloo?
No, it's not like an NBA star. No.
So how long have you been married?
This time, 16 years now.
Okay. Oh, so you were married before?
Yes.
Now, the first marriage, was that what killed that? Was it the traveling? Was it the touring? Was it?
No, but there was a marriage where the traveling killed it. And basically... Now I go home every week. You know, I just go out 3-4 days. That's it.
Right.
I used to go out 10 days at a time. And being a younger man, you go on the road 10 days at a time. I don't care who you are, you're gonna get it somewhere.
You're gonna slip and fall and
yeah,
into it.
Especially you know, in the bars when you're drinking, when all these women are getting hot and bothered, you know, with the dirty stuff.
And
anyway, Bab, I'm making excuses for having lack of self-control.
So, however, now that you're doing it, or at least this is what you're saying on the radio and to your wife, who knows the real story, but in this recent marriage, the current one, number three, I guess it must be. Four?
I guess it's three. I don't know. I don't know. Correct.
I'm not the best mathematician, but from the counting there, I was...
There's been three, yeah, there's... Absolutely.
So there still must be temptation. I mean, you're still playing the same kinds of places, even if you're only doing them 3 days in a row.
Yeah, but I'm an old guy now, so that my little general is no longer in charge. and so
does he need a blue pill?
And it's just harmless little flirting. If there's no. There's no follow-through on anything.
Right. Well, I mean, even on the website, you occasionally have to do the topless contests and the wet T-shirt stuff. Or was that also in the past?
Oh, time? No. But it's not like contests. They come up and just do it. I would say, like, last night I played and probably autographed 15 sets of...
knockers.
You say Hooters.
Hooters is fine.
Lung bags.
Yeah. Mammalians. Yeah. What else? Oh, we can... No, there's a million that we
can... Bodacious tatas.
Yeah. Over the boulders. Well, anyway, you autographed them. Very nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, who was talking about that where... I just today heard some big star saying he was going to autograph people on their skin and women and stuff like that. And women were actually getting tattoos of the autograph on them.
Oh, yes, they do that. Yes, they do, and they have done that. I've done that with many people. They come back and show me the tattoo. There's my signature.
Creepy, man.
It does seem slightly absurd to me, but, you know, if it's fun for them, God bless them. Hey, this is John Valby, Dr. Dirty, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By. Rock on, bro!
I guess this would help a lot with the fact that you are a concert giver and you have to judge an audience all the time and see what from minute to minute see what their reactions are and how to when a crowd needs to calm down a little bit, when you need to lift them up a little bit. You have a Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy.
I do.
What first of all, what possessed you to get a philosophy degree? You must have known you would be doing something in the arts. You get a degree that useless.
I don't know. I was brought up a Catholic and I had serious questions about the nature of the universe and what we're doing here and struggling with all that stuff, and I loved BSing about that stuff. And I did philosophy in college, and hence my theme song is Philosophical Bull Bleep.
Right, okay.
And I start every show with that song.
Is there a verse you can kind of, any verse you can share with us, or would we be in problematic?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you made me promise to be good.
Okay, that's fair. And you were, again, this kind of astonishes me, but now if we roll it back, you were in the Army?
Yes, I was in the Army during Vietnam time. I didn't go to Vietnam. I was in Texas and Georgia, and I worked in a paperwork section that sent people to Vietnam.
Wait, so you knew George Bush?
No, he didn't show up. Don't you recall that? They just signed his name in.
Well, wait a minute. Were you there at the same time around? No, couldn't have. Or were you? In other words, did you actually see his name?
66.
Yeah.
66 to 68.
Right. So, no, but what I'm saying is, did you actually have any run-ins even with seeing his name on a piece of paper there or anything?
Oh, no.
Oh, you just
not with any of the Bushes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Fort Hood, Texas at that time was way smaller than it is now. I did go back and I played in a bar right next to Fort Hood and tried to find my old place. I couldn't even find it. It's so huge how much it's changed.
Wow.
You know, all those Texas presidents, all the money goes to Texas, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know how that government works.
Unfortunately. Well, no, actually I don't. I just assume it's corrupt and
yeah.
Everybody else can fill in the blanks on that. But how did you get out of going to NAM?
The truth is, if your dossier came in on a Saturday, you automatically went to Vietnam. If your dossier came in Monday through Friday, they looked at a score you had on kind of an intelligence test. If it was above a certain number, they called you in and interviewed you. If they liked you, they kept you on the fort. If they didn't like you, you went to Vietnam. I swear to God, that's exactly how it was.
And did they like the smart people, or did they like the dumb?
They liked smart people because they wanted somebody on the fort that could handle the stuff that they wanted done. And but if you came in on a Saturday, nobody looked at it, you automatically went to a unit that went to Vietnam.
And was it lottery-esque what would happen on a Saturday, or was it particular?
Yeah, it was kind of lottery-esque. Also, at that time, the main computer in the Pentagon would send down random lists of the guys, and these guys were supposed to go to Vietnam. But if they liked you and you were filling a position, they would send a delete card in, and boom, you didn't have to go.
Nice.
I also personally watched a guy come in who was going to Vietnam and sit there and say, I can't go, and cry, and they let him out.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, I would totally do that. I would eat knife onions for an hour before going to the draft board, show them my flat feet, my bunions.
You know, most of the guys, 90% of the guys that went to Vietnam never heard a gun fired. Because I was in the place where these guys all came back. Most of them never heard a gun fired. They, you know, they were in supply. They were in this or that, transportation, communication. It was mostly volunteers that went up to fighting. You don't want a guy next to you that doesn't want to be there. You want a guy who wants to fight, you know.
Well, they found 53,000 who were ready to fight and die.
Oh, God, yeah. It was a different macho time, wasn't it?
Not necessarily. Who goes to Iraq? Who signs up for now the National Guard or the Army?
They are all volunteers
so desperate
now, aren't they? Yeah.
I mean, you know, I get it, but I don't get it. I mean, if you have no other options for jobs, that's one thing. But there's still crazy people out there. It's like, well, yeah, I'm here, and yeah, I just wish we'd see some fighting. You know,
yeah.
People think like that, you know?
Yeah, the people in the desert think that way.
Hmm.
Look at them, the guys that blow themselves up for their cause. I mean, you have to admire that in a philosophical sense, although I think they're nuts.
I wish we had that for the causes here, like prostate cancer. Wilford Brimley, like, stands in the middle of Hollywood with a little TNT and blows himself up for prostate cancer.
I thought he had diabetes.
Oh, so, okay, whatever he has. You know, B. Arthur immolates herself for breast cancer. Or she sets her old prostate on fire. I'm not sure.
You're a bad man, Dave.
Yeah, I'm pretty evil myself. I'm you're Dr. Dirty, I'm Dr. Vicious, Wicked, and Horrible. But if you had to choose, we've got to wrap it up with Dr. Dirty, John Valby here. Of all the songs that you've written, rewritten, or just revitalized in the way that you do, do you have a couple of favorites of all time? Because it must be thousands now.
Oh, yeah, favorites, you know. My sister's favorite is The End of the Month.
There you go.
And there's very few objectionable words in that, but the thoughts are really dirty.
Would you mind, can you do a little bit of that?
You can tell by the smell that she isn't feeling well as the end of the month rolls around. Scrape it up in a jar, you've got instant caviar as the end of the month rolls around. So it's no surprise on her thighs when you see a million flies. You can tell by the crunch there's some options in her lunch. If you absolutely must, you'll just have to pop the crust. I mean, there's no end to those.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a good one. I love the Billy Joel song we do. Just like a woman, it's hard to set up.
Yeah, that wouldn't. Oh my gosh! Thank you.
Hey,
I knew
you'd
be laughing, man. We've been talking with the wonderful John Valby. Go see him when he's in town. I mean, you do. How many gigs do you do a year, roughly?
Oh, roughly 100 a year.
Oh,
all one-nighters.
So you've slowed down a little, but that's still pretty darn good.
Yeah.
That's still pretty neat. And one thing that says that you're always on that kind of old-time rinky-dink piano. Does the piano travel with you? Or
yes,
you use
I bring
the
piano with me, and it's an old case. The case is from 1922, but I have an electric inside of it.
Oh.
So it's always in tune. As long as I don't spill beer in it, because sometimes I can lose a couple octaves, you know. But, no, it's in real good tune. It's a Korg. It sounds great. It really does.
And
it rocks.
Well, you have to have a truck to transport everything then? Or
yeah, I have a band. We got everything in the band. I got, you know, some good Rams of speakers. And most places I go now have a sound system. So.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Have you actually? I do want to ask. I just one more question occurred to me because of the types of places that you play and the mood that the audience is in when they see you and that you keep. Have you ever witnessed some, like, amazing bar fights? And
you... No. Maybe one, maybe two small fights the whole time I've done it, because I get people to laugh and sing.
Mm.
And when they're blowing off steam by yelling F you back at me and screaming and yelling, and so they don't fight.
Yeah. I love it. I think that's this is what we should be sending you to the Middle East. Instead of Condoleezza Rice. Yeah. Well, John Valby, it's been a delight and a lot of laughs, actually. And all I can say is F you, John Valby.
Thank you, Dave. I hope to see you someday.